Welcome to the Kanakuk Podcast. We hope you'll be encouraged to have an I'm third approach as you navigate family, leadership, and spiritual growth. If you're new to our conversation, welcome. It's so great to have you. Let's jump in.
Well, hello, friends. Welcome back to the Kanakuk Podcast. I'm in the studio today with my buddy, Mr. Joe White. And Joe, I'm not going to waste any of our time, Jay, because we have a very special guest. And so I'm just going to hand things right on over to you and have you introduce that very special guest.
Well, Beth Ann, if we could have a favorite podcast of all the years we've been doing this, this would be my favorite. We have got one of my best friends of life to share with us today, and his name is Zach Ferrier. And when you hear that name, I get chills up my back, and I get a big familiar lump in my throat from Sundays, from years gone by, when the Johnny Ferrier story would be told at camp. If you're new to the Kanakuk world, the Johnny Ferrier story may be new to you, but to Kanakuk folks, it is like the heart of our whole operation. Johnny Ferrier is Kanakuk hero. Johnny was the pilot in the F-86 airplane that flew in Korea and came back to the United States of America, where Johnny was a part of the F-86 exhibition team called the Minutemen, a expert team of four pilots who would do air shows around the United States of America and show off the new jets of the day. In one show at the perilous day when Johnny, who had learned I'm third as a little 9-year-old at camp, and then he'd lived I'm third throughout his Kanakuk days, was a counselor. Johnny had played running back for the Colorado Buffaloes, a very swift-footed man, had joined the Air Force and selected the F-86 Sabre jet after graduating first in his class. But on this infamous day when Johnny was flying in this air show over Dayton, Ohio, over the Wright-Patterson Air Force Base, over 100,000 people, the signature maneuver was called the fleur-de-lis, where Johnny and his three pilot friends would fly over the crowd treetop high just under the speed of sound. And then over the crowd, suddenly they would dash up into the sky, straight into the blueness of the heavens. And then at 7,000 feet, Johnny would take a screaming right turn. Major Wynn Coomer, his buddy, would take a screaming left turn. The other two pilots would shoot straight up into the sky. But then, as it said in the Denver Post that recorded the story the next day, it said, all of a sudden, the morning of beauty turned into a morning of horror because one of the planes was out of control. And Beth Ann, it was Johnny's plane. The rudder had locked in the turn, and Johnny's plane was diving haphazardly out of control into a little bitty town just outside of Dayton called Fairborn, Ohio. And as the story would go, Johnny's plane would be flying straight into a house where there was a mother and a little boy watching out of their picture window of their living room. She was interviewed the next day, and she said, as the plane came crashing into my house, it was like we were looking into each other's eyes, me and the pilot. And then, all of a sudden, she said, and I'm sure tears were streaming down her face, as this story has often sent tears streaming down my face, she said, all of a sudden, somehow, he pulled it up and over the rooftop, and he placed it, and she pointed into her backyard garden where there was a blue, smoking, gaping hole where Johnny had placed the plane. It was the only place in that town, Beth Ann, where Johnny could have put the plane without killing anyone, except, of course, himself. In his final I'm third act of valor, putting God first, the other person second, and I'm third. And Beth Ann, it was my delight as a young director in the early 1970s to welcome his son, Zach, to the Kanakuk staff. Zach, I think you're about 18 years old. You just graduated from high school, and you'd won some state championships yourself. Do you recall the days when you first came into Kanakuk?
Oh, absolutely. In fact, Spike told me that I wasn't supposed to be a counselor right after my senior year in high school. So I had a lot of living up to do. So anyway, memories are so fond. It's just incredible.
It's like you're a friend maker. You're a great friend maker. Do you recall the early friendships of those days?
Oh, absolutely. We, Actually, there's 8, 9, or 10 of us that still stay in contact via text. We shout out at each other at least once a week, depending on whose football team is playing. And it's pretty fun because we have quite a diversity of the Southern boys and the universities that they went through and who they root for. So it's a lot of fun for me and to stay in contact that way.
Zach, every time I see your face, which I'm looking at today via the computer, I just start smiling. You're just one of the neatest human beings I've ever met in my life. We had so much fun in those days, didn't we?
Oh, boy, did we. Wish we could do it again.
And you also played the guitar and you sang really, really pretty and used to sing songs in church on Sunday morning. Do you remember those Sunday morning church services?
Absolutely. And I get to see another one, I think, in a couple of months.
Yeah, I love that. I love that, Zach. Beth Ann, we can only imagine what it was like for Zach as a little fella when he and his brother Scott and his sister Vicky got in the news of their father's death. And Zach, tell the family story, if you will, what it was like on the side of the Ferrier family.
As you know, Johnny died on June 7th, 1958. And I had just turned 4 back in May. And back in the day when one of the comrades in their group crashed or was, you know, in a plane crash, they would go back to the spouse's house and let her know that he had passed. And I was only 4 years old, and I remember vividly, all I heard was my sister Vicky crying, and she at the time was 6. And my brother Scott was 7. And I ran into the room and I asked her, I said, "What happened, Vicky? Did you get a shot in your arm?" And because I was terrified of shots. So being 4 years old, that was the reality to me at that time, even though I really didn't completely understand it. You know, my mom told me that we wouldn't be seeing Johnny again. Of all things, that was my most vivid recollection of that day when they came to the house, when the pilots came to the house.
And Zach, losing him at such a young age, I'd be interested to hear, you know, what were the things that, you know, your siblings or your mom or other family members, what things did they teach you and tell you about Johnny that they wanted you to know about him?
You know, that's a really good question. Surprisingly, not much was said about it. You know, what was hard for me when I was getting older, you know, like 10, 11, 12 and early teens, was I had a hard time understanding why Johnny would do that. You know, he had a wonderful wife who, by the way, my mom passed away back in November. The older I got, I didn't understand, you know, I hadn't committed my life to Jesus at that time. And it was hard for me to understand how my dad, I mean, it was a heroic event and gesture. I guess it's a little bit more than a gesture, but it was hard for me to, you know, how he could do that with a wife at home and 3 kids and, you know, just a selfish little kid's attitude, which by the way, I still am a bit. And so it was hard for me to really understand, and that's where it kind of all started to generate, you know, where I really started to think about what's this all about? What's life all about? These guys, or one of our coaches, we had a bunch of coaches in our high school that was, and we were very fortunate that were Christians. And, which, you know, I didn't really know the concept of accepting Jesus as your savior, that he was the son of God, you know? And, so I went to this FCA meeting that I was invited to in Fort Morgan, Colorado. And I went up there and there was a keynote speaker. His name was John Keyworth. And ironically, he was a running back also for, the Colorado Buffaloes. And he told this story about a man and the son were walking along that railroad tracks, and his son ran up ahead on the railroad tracks and way ahead of his dad. And the dad turned around and saw a train coming, And he also noticed that there was some debris on the railroad track that could derail the train. So he had to make a decision of whether he was going to remove the debris or save his son. So when it just clicked at that moment when I heard that story and made me understand, you know, the sacrifice that God made for, you know, for us, you know, for his only son. And the lights just went on. And that was early spring that happened. Actually, I think it was about this time of year, in February. So that's basically what happened. And then I came to know that there was a lot of other Christians. Four of the guys that we won the mile relay, which is now the 1600 relay, at state, and it was the highest classification. It was against all the big boys, the Denver schools and Colorado Springs. And of those, all four of those guys became Christians. And so everybody in our class, there was a lot of people in our class became Christians our senior year of high school. And what's really funny, you know, at first, everybody just kind of thought it was a fad. And so anyway, and three of those four guys that I ran in that relay with, we meet every Friday for coffee and prayer. And we have a group, majority of them are from our senior year in high school, 1972. And boy, what a diverse group of people. It's amazing. It's been really, really a blessing. You know, it's not just old jocks and everything. It's just really, really been a blessing. And it's a great prayer group. And the other guy lives in Denver, but he's also a Christian. And so it was really, really a neat time. And then that was right after that. After I graduated, that was my first summer at Kanakuk as a counselor. I'll never forget. Bill Bumpus is a really, really good friend of mine, and he was there also. And what was really funny is he asked me to be a medicine man, and I had no idea what I was doing. I mean, and Bill and I are still very close. He's one of the guys I stay in contact with. And in fact, he and I visited Kanakuk a couple years ago, and he came up, and so we got to see everybody. It was just a really, really neat time. But anyway, in a nutshell, that's what happened. And I just, you know, I just felt, I know I'm kind of rambling all over the place, but I had just, you know, I just felt abandoned from everybody. And, you know, I had a great stepdad, but he wasn't my dad. You know, there's not a day that, it's not a day I don't think about him. And, but I know he's in heaven, and, it'll be a glorious day not only to see Jesus, but to see him. So that's pretty much it. I didn't know how detailed you wanted to get, but that's pretty detailed. Most people haven't heard that other part of my immediate family and everything. So, but I felt Joe has just been so special to me over all these years. It's only been about 52 years. And actually, I knew him when I was a camper too. So anyway, it's just been a real blessing. Camp has just been, it just means so much to me. That's pretty much it.
Yeah, Zach, I've heard you say so many times, and thank you for your candid telling of the story. It always touches me to hear you tell the story, but I've heard you say several times that senior in high school, when that man told the story, and you decided to surrender your heart to Christ. And I've heard you say, then I knew why Johnny did it.
Yeah, that's right. I did forget that. That's right. I knew why Johnny did it. And I tell you, what a relief, you know, for me, you know, to live with that for so many years. And I didn't comprehend it when I was four, you know, when he passed. But, you know, getting around 11, 12, 13, 14 years old, it was tough. But you are absolutely correct. That's when I knew why Johnny did it.
Such a sweet picture of just, you know, I'm just thinking, God, he doesn't have to do this, but he helps us to understand, you know, the sacrifice that he made through the things that he allows us to walk through. And so thank you again for sharing that, Zach.
Absolutely.
I'd also love just to hear, you know, what was it like for you to be back at a place, whether it was when you were a camper or back on staff, you know, to get to walk where your dad walked and to get to be a part of something that was life-changing for him. What was that like for you?
Oh, it was fabulous. And, you know, Spike and Joe, you know, would always tell the I'm Third story, you know, and Johnny Ferrier and Joe always had me share. I didn't share everything that I shared with you all, but he, you know, I shared pretty much that how I became a Christian and everything. So that the church, walking through the churches at K2 and K1, it's just, oh boy, especially K1, it just really brings back wonderful memories. And won't be my last one, I can tell you that.
And so, Zach, what will it be like for you to come back for the 100th year reunion?
I just hope a lot of people that I know will be there. But however, it's going to be really, really neat to meet the people, you know, that were part of Kanakuk that I didn't get to meet. And it's just when I was there 2 years ago, it's like I got really close to a couple of the kitchen girls, you know, because they came up after Joe gave his talk and he had me say something, and they just, you know, they were so blessed. And it's just affected so many people. And, you know, what's really amazing is, you know, I always tell them, I just say, you know, he was my dad and I'm not the one in the plane. And I always wonder, you know, if you were in that situation, you know, what you would do or what I would do. And that's, you just don't know until it happens, you know. But it all comes from your past and, you know, what you believe in, you know, because he had to make that decision in a heartbeat. And man, that'd be tough, to be honest with you. That'd be tough.
And so, Beth Ann, I suppose several hundred thousand campers over the years and staff.
Yes.
Have heard the Johnny Ferrier story and have decided to model their life, putting God first, the other person second, and I'm third. And Zach, I will tell you that on behalf of your father and his great sacrifice, every summer I get to see the eyes of thousands of K1 kids, K2 kids, and kids at other camps decide that they're going to change from being me first and from giving their parents a difficult time to becoming me third and loving their parents and serving their parents. And instead of doing things with their lives that are not helpful, to give their lives to Christ and to become Christ's followers and to oftentimes put away alcohol, put away drugs, put away selfish habits and decide to become game changers for their family and for their schools. The impact Johnny's story has had has been echoing throughout these mountains, these Ozark Mountains, ever since Uncle Bill told the story way back in the early 1930s. And then Johnny heard it as a little 9-year-old back in the 1940s.
Yeah.
And so, Beth Ann, what a time to talk about the 100th year Kanakuk reunion. Zach will be here.
Yes, we can't wait.
What do you think about the weekend of Memorial Day,
oh,
May 25, 26?
I am so excited. And I just can't wait to continue to meet people like you, Zach, who really were the ones that went before us and continued to carry on just this legacy. And I get to be at K1, so I'm happy to get to help host you. And, you know, I think there's going to be a little zip and slip tour. And so I think we're going to have to get Zach down some tube slides and see if he's still got it. So, but just so fun, you know, for me to get to be a part of this conversation. I've gotten to be on staff for the last 16 summers and enjoy it. It still is one of my favorite days when you come over on Sunday mornings at K1. And I'm telling you, when he is sharing the I'm Third story, it is like hushed tones. And somehow he has just captivated these 6 to 12-year-olds with this story. And it's just, it is so sticky for them. And I see so many kids that come back and they tell me stories and they said, you know, I told my team about I'm Third and that was our motto this year. And so, you know, they're putting that on the back of their jerseys or they're talking about that in their locker room or their family has adopted that motto. And so, man, I just think how amazing that God multiplies the impact. And, you know, it, all glory to God. And, you know, Johnny just got to be the instrument in God's hand.
Absolutely.
That day. But we love getting to tell the story and we're going to keep telling the story so that we get to continue to watch kids and staff live, you know, God first, others second, and ourselves third.
Yeah.
And so you can get online and register at kanakuk.com/alumni. And there'll be a link there for you to register. And we can't wait for a really cool weekend. My daughter Jamie's putting on the weekend, and she's inviting some of the old camp musicians who used to come play at camp, some of the old Christian rock and roll guys that we used to absolutely love at camp are going to come play. It'll be a great weekend. Zach, yeah. Thank you so much for being one of my best friends. Still remember you with beautiful black hair. You were such a handsome young man. You'd won, I think you were all state in a couple of sports and some state championships, and everybody looked up to you and admired you and thought you were the coolest person at Kanakuk. And by the way, Zach, you still are the coolest person at Kanakuk. Thanks for joining us today.
My pleasure.
Well, with that, we'd love to wrap up and pray for you today. God, thank you so much just for the ways that you tangibly, God, show us what it looks like to lay down your life, God, for those that you love and for others. And God, we thank you for this story, God, this legacy that Johnny has left. And God, we pray that for all of us listening, God, that we would continue to fix our eyes on you, that we'd keep you first, God, and that we would then look to others, God, and then ourselves last. And so, God, thank you for Zach and his family. God, thank you for all that you've done over the last 100 years at Kanakuk. God, we give you glory for what you've done. And God, thank you for allowing us to get to be a part of it. It's in your name we pray. Amen.
Subscribe to our podcast today to stay up to date with the latest episodes. If this podcast has helped you in any way, please consider rating us, writing a review, or sharing it with others so we can continue to build you up with an I'm Third approach to family, leadership, and spiritual growth. For more information about the podcast, visit kanakukpodcast.com. And for more information about Kanakuk, you can visit kanakuk.com.